From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Does the start of a season in which you have a very high preseason ranking affect the pressure that you feel as you go into that year? We'll find out later on when David Green, the former Georgia quarterback, is with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, because his team in 2004 sported the same number three ranking in the AP poll that Georgia has to start the 2018 season. Really interesting stuff from the former Georgia quarterback there. Before we get to kind of any of that, though, I do want to say off the top of the program how excited I am about tonight. We get a chance to do one of the things this year that I love more than anything else. We've done it every year going back for years here at Dog Nation. It's our Dog Nation season kickoff. We're going to be at the Kroger Incoming there on Bethelview Road, the brand new Kroger Marketplace. And if you've never been to a Kroger Marketplace before, these are beautiful, beautiful facilities. It's more than just a supermarket. It's a lot more, frankly, because in the middle of the venue there, they have what the patrons and the shoppers there like to call a crowbar, a bar at Kroger, believe it or not. You can sit down, enjoy yourself a beer or a glass of wine, something along those lines. It's a really cool spot to talk some Georgia football, which we will do tonight. Jeff Sintel, myself, Chip Towers, Mike Griffith, all on hand. It's 6 to 8 p.m. there at the brand new Kroger Marketplace on Bethelview Road. It's up 400. Just sort of get off exit 13 there, and it'll be right there for you from 6 to 8 to 9, the Dog Nation season kickoff. I'm really excited about tonight for a couple of reasons as well. I'm also going to get a chance to make a major Dog Nation-related announcement tonight on the air live, so tune in on Facebook Live this evening. If you can't be with us there at Kroger on the YouTube page, you'll get a chance to see all of that. And for those of you who are wondering what else is going to be going on, let me tell you about this. In my hands here, I'm holding the Dog Nation Retaliation T-shirt that date back to December. And we've had a great time with these over the course of the offseason, sort of poking fun at Gus Malzahn from time to time. Dog Nation Retaliation was originally all about getting retaliation for Gus Malzahn and his "We beat the dog crap" comment out of Georgia going back to November. Dog Nation Retaliation was 28-7 right there in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I really think that tonight giving away a lot of these T-shirts on hand at the venue is going to be a really fun thing to do. So be with us there at the Crowbar starting at 6 p.m. I know I've already heard from many of you who are making plans to attend. This is one of the most fun things we do around Dog Nation each and every year, and it is going to be great tonight. Really excited about that. With that said, let me sort of move on and kind of get into the crux of the show here. And a lot of longtime Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers will bring up to me something that I talk about every year on this show right about this time. Bud Elliott is, I think, a very smart recruiting reporter. He works for SB Nation. And one of the things that Bud has done for years and years, and I have always followed this, I think it's really important research. I think it's crucial in terms of who has a real chance to win a national championship. He has what he calls the blue chip ratio. And what Bud has found is, if you want to go back years and years, as far back as we can go in kind of the modern era of recruiting, when the internet age has made it easy to rate who's a four-star and who's a five-star player, what Bud has found is every national champion in that sort of modern age, going to the BCS, now into the college football playoff era, every national playoff or national championship team has more four- and five-star players than it does three-star players or below. He calls it the blue-chip ratio because what Bud has found is you need to have at least 51% of your roster be four- and five-star players if you want to have a chance to win a national championship. Now, Georgia, even under Mark Richt, was kind of in there. But one of the things that Bud Elliott sort of brought to mind last year was, even with Richt kind of sort of exceeding above that sort of 50% threshold for those elite blue-chip-level prospects, four- and five-star recruits, Kirby Smart has been doing even better. Let me go back to last year here for a moment with what Bud Elliott wrote about this blue-chip ratio. And Georgia's standing among the rest of college football in terms of having the most elite recruits or more elite recruits than the programs it was playing. Let me read you a quote here, Bud Elliott, SB Nation from 2017, where he talks about this. He says, Kirby Smart inherited a good roster from Mark Richt, but Kirby Smart's first two classes are humming along at 74% of four- and five-star recruits, he means. While Bud Elliott says the Richt's final two classes were at 53%. He says back a year ago, it's not yet known if Kirby Smart can coach, but Georgia's talent is being upgraded. Now, Bud Elliott, in his most recent edition of the Blue Chip Ratio, which just came out this week at SBNation.com, says, any questions we had about Kirby Smart being able to coach have been emphatically answered. Obviously, after the 2017 season, we know that he can coach. But for me, it's also about the ability to bring in those elite top-level prospects. That's what really matters to me in terms of winning a national championship. Alabama has been the blueprint for that. Clemson, Ohio State, and the college football playoff era as well. So let me give you one number here that speaks to what Georgia's been able to do. If you look at Bud Elliott's blue chip ratio, the percentage of players on a roster recruited and signed over the last 4 years that are former 4- and 5-star prospects coming out of high school, Georgia's number now is 69%, ahead of, what was it, 52, 53 at the end of the Mark Richt era that Bud Elliott just told us. Georgia now 69%. That makes Georgia fourth best in all of college football, behind just USC at 71, Ohio State at 76, which may explain some of the Urban Meyer stuff from last night, by the way, and Alabama, which is at 77%. So, you know, pay attention to who's ahead of Georgia here, but also pay attention to the fact that virtually the rest of college football is all very far behind Georgia. Compared to Oklahoma here for a moment, the team that Georgia just beat in the Rose Bowl back in January. Oklahoma at just 53% of its roster at that sort of 4- and 5-star blue chip level when it comes to its recruits. That means in a game like the one that we saw in the Rose Bowl a year ago, when Georgia and Oklahoma are battling, Georgia's got, if I'm doing the math correctly, maybe I'm not, somewhere in the neighborhood of about a dozen more elite, capable players on its roster than Oklahoma's likely to have, and at least in rough numbers here. What Bud Elliott's going to tell you is that level of recruiting is what's going to make it much, much easier to win a national championship, and we're seeing those results on the field. Georgia used the number 3 class in 2017 to be, you know, in the national championship game in the season for 2017. Now leaning on that number 1 recruiting class for 2018, I think most Georgia fans are expecting more success to come. So that number, maybe more than anything else, explains how Georgia's been able to do what it's been able to do so far under Kirby Smart. But it also reminds you of this, and maybe it brings you back down to earth, at least in one brief moment, that Georgia rising to the level that it's risen now at 69% of its roster's former 4- and 5-star recruits, Alabama's still at 77%, so it's still a pretty big mountain to climb if you want to topple Alabama here in the SEC. Now, speaking of former 4- and 5-star recruits, Georgia's really lucky that it has some of those kind of collected there at the quarterback position right now, and it's been one of the most fascinating subplots we've sort of seen play out during Georgia practice thus far this summer, that competition between Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. Well, when Chip Towers was on Dog Nation Daily on Monday, and you should go back and listen to Monday's episode of the program if you missed it, Chip was pretty emphatic and pretty clear that while Justin Fields is likely going to play and there's likely a role for Justin on this team, Chip, based on what he was hearing from around those practices, was saying that he thought this was still Fromm's team in terms of the starting quarterback, and he didn't think there was really a legitimate battle going on in terms of who the starting quarterback on this team was going to be. I think that Kirby Smart, in his own way, sort of confirmed yesterday with his words to the media what Chip talked about on a Monday show, that yes, they're obviously intrigued by what Fields brings to the table, but in terms of a competition where a starter is going to be named, that's not exactly the way that Kirby Smart sees that right now. And I think it's sort of important to transition to this topic and hear Kirby Smart on two players that are fascinating to Georgia fans right now, Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. Let's hear a little more from him on that.
Yeah, I really hadn't even thought about it, to be honest with you. I mean, we've let those two guys compete out. I mean, Jake's going with the ones almost the whole time. So we'll handle this as it goes. It's not like it's a predetermined announcement on this date. That's not really the plans. We don't look at it that way. We look at it as those two guys are competing, and they'll continue to compete.
Yeah, so I think that's really interesting that it sounds like right now Kirby Smart, much the way that I think most of us expected, me included, many of you who kind of weigh in our comment section or on Twitter, Dog Nation Daily, sort of expected that Jake Fromm's still the starter in this team. Now, I've gone on record as saying that I think that Fields is going to play in every game. In fact, I think he plays in the first half in both the Austin Peay game and the South Carolina game. I could end up being wrong about that, but what I was not wrong about, apparently, is the fact that Jake Fromm is indeed going to be the starter. And listen, that's no disrespect to Justin Fields, who may go on to have an all-time great career at UGA. It may be a scenario with Fromm and Fields, much like it was for Georgia back in 2002 and 2003, 2004, where you have two of the best quarterbacks your program's ever had on the roster at the same time. It was David Green and DJ Shockley back then. It is Jake Fromm and Justin Fields right now, and Justin Fields may show why he's gotten all the hype that he's gotten. But in the sort of immediate present, Jake Fromm's obviously a very difficult player to beat out. He gained experience last year, and you know, experience alone is not enough to make someone a starter, but experience can become either a weapon or a tool to be utilized. And for Jake Fromm, I think he has utilized that to make him more comfortable. Kirby Smart's been pretty clear about that, that the night and day difference between the comfort and the familiarity that Jake Fromm's showing right now, that's what's going to sort of, he's going to leverage to his benefit to be the Georgia starter quarterback, at least based on what Kirby Smart said yesterday. But I will go back to say what I've said all along here, that having good players is never a bad thing, even if those good players are both at the quarterback position. Obviously, the long cliche in football is the idea if you've got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. But sometimes you actually need two, a good starter and another guy that can come in and do big, impressive things. And it sounds like Georgia's got that with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. And sort of tie all of this together and kind of go back to what I was saying off the top of the program here. You know, it's Kirby Smart's level of recruiting that makes all of this possible. Bringing in, virtually a little more than two out of every three players Kirby Smart signed has been of that four- and five-star variety, including these quarterbacks as well. Georgia has never recruited better than it's recruiting right now. It is truly a golden age in terms of talent acquisition. Bud Elliott at SB Nation have noticed it. Georgia fans have noticed it. And I think once the 2018 season begins, the rest of the country is going to be forced to realize that as well. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Good to have you with us, live on video on the Dog Nation Facebook, Dog Nation YouTube page, and the Dog Nation Twitter feed as well. We're glad to have you with us, watching us on video. You can listen to us on the radio at noon every day as well, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love doing that, and we love podcasts as well. No matter how you get to the podcast, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player there for the Android devices, the world-famous DogNation.com SoundCloud. Thanks for finding Dog Nation Daily on the podcast here today. As I mentioned a moment ago, we will welcome in a guy that I just spoke about briefly, the former Georgia quarterback David Green, onto our program here in a couple of minutes. We'll tell you about what David's got going on here coming up this season. He'll weigh in on his thoughts on the Georgia Bulldogs as well. It'll be a fun conversation with David Green here in just a moment. I'll also tell you that we're brought to you today by our friends at Marco's Pizza. And, you know, you're getting ready to settle in, watch a lot of football. I know that this Saturday there are actually a couple games on, I guess. Our buddy Mike Bobo in Colorado State taking on Hawaii. Good to see Coach Bobo feeling maybe a little bit better here, and his Rams getting ready to take on Hawaii. If you're watching that game, you want to settle down with some pizza. How about two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each? It's the everyday value you get at Marco's. No special promo code to remember, coupon to clip out. Simply go to marcos.com. You can find out how you can take advantage of that offer for authentic Italian quality pizza. Every store, every day, the Italian way at marcos.com. Really, really glad to have Marco's Pizza with us here on Dog Nation Daily. Also, something else that I'm really glad about. You know, I mentioned Kroger a moment ago, who's going to host us tonight for our Dog Nation season kickoff there at the brand new Kroger Marketplace in Cumming. Something else that Kroger's doing for Dog Nation right now is they're presenting Before the Hedges each and every week. It's our recruiting show. We kind of look ahead to the classes of 2019 and 2020 and how Kirby Smart keeps that blue chip ratio high, that level of four and five star recruits. It's the work done right now that makes that possible in December and February. And then for 2020, much the same way. And boy, Georgia's already getting to work apparently in a big way on its 2020 class. We don't know how these are going to play out as of yet, but it's kind of nice to see Georgia in the mix. Many of us recognize that Justin Rogers, the 2020 offensive lineman from up like the Detroit area, a big time offensive line prospect, but has said some interesting things about Georgia to the pages of DogNation.com and Jeff Sintel. Rogers recently tweeted out this. It got some attention. He says, "Coming soon, a commitment. Do not ask me why." And as I joked about yesterday on Before the Hedges, why is not the issue here. It's more about the what and the who are you committing to and the when is it going to happen. And Jeff Sintel kind of shared his thoughts on Before the Hedges on that yesterday. One of the top offensive linemen in the country for 2020. Cozy relationship with Georgia on Before the Hedges yesterday. Jeff Sintel explained more about that.
You've got Justin Rogers out of Oak Park, Michigan, right outside Detroit, the Motor City, and that young man, nation's number one offensive guard. Very interesting, some of the reporting I've done there on that one, where if you look at the crystal ball breadcrumbs for Justin Rogers, you basically saw him leading up to a lot of crystal balls for Ohio State, and I got a chance to talk to him about it, and he was at the reveal. He basically told me that Georgia was his leader, and Georgia had been his leader practically a little bit since G-Day for Justin Rogers. And very interesting, because those of you that want to see the Georgia Bulldog program stock up with those five stars and those top five guys on both sides of the ball might have an early treat on their radar to think about coming up sometime soon, potentially, for both of those guys.
So good news there from Jeff, maybe on Justin Rogers. You also hear him mention the word both yesterday on Before the Hedges. The other guy he's mentioning there is Jameel Burrows, who let it be known on Twitter not too long ago, and I'll show you this here, that August 25th, which is this Saturday, going to be his big date. Here is the tweet from Jameel Burrows on that, that it's coming up. Jeff Sintel explained to us that it's August 25th there. That's his mother's birthday, his way of honoring her, and maybe this is good news for Georgia. And as Jeff pointed out on Before the Hedges, also maybe a way for Georgia to kind of keep that recent momentum going if Burrows commits to the G for Georgia's success there in Cobb County. More from Jeff on that.
Guys, it sounds like Brandon, if you read between the lines right there, it sounds to me like Cobb County, he's going to start drawing some big hearts on his notebook Trapper Keeper folder for Cobb County and maybe that pipeline to Clark County as opposed to Gwinnett County. I mean, I think you look recent history, you've got Aziz Ojulari, you've got Dominic Blaylock. What potentially might happen with Jameel Burrows on the 25th, that might be a pretty good recent track record for Georgia with Cobb County compared to Gwinnett, of course.
So a lot of talk yesterday about Justin Rogers, a lot of talk about Jameel Burrows. The point here is if you want the best, most up-to-date recruiting information you can get, it's Before the Hedges every Wednesday at 3 p.m. presented by Kroger. And once again, speaking of Kroger, we hope to see you tonight for our Dog Nation season kickoff right there at the brand new Kroger Marketplace there in Cumming. And of course, check us out for Before the Hedges each and every week. It's great to have you with us here today on our Dog Nation Daily. A lot of fun coming up. For now, though, let's talk to the former Georgia quarterback, David Green. And we'll talk to David Green here, the former Georgia quarterback. And, of course, when I think about David Green and talking to him on Dog Nation Daily, the one thing that always comes to mind for me is how many Georgia fans have already told me they're excited about the return of the upcoming season, because that means a chance to hang out right there at Tailgate Apparel on game days, 279 East Broad Street in Athens. It is in the old Harry Bissett's building. It's a great spot sort of right across from campus in downtown Athens, and you can see, you know, all the great Georgia gear. And, David, I know that Tailgate was hosting a bunch of exciting stuff before game days last year, and I know you're good friends, a lot of the folks over at Tailgate, and I'm guessing they're going to be doing a big game day celebration again here for the 2018 season as well.
Well, there's no question. I think everybody's fired up for the season to start. So much news always coming out about, you know, camp, and I know all the Georgia fans have been following that and just ready for the season to start. Austin Peay, obviously, first game, got an announcement here. We got our great player, Sean Jones, you know, who was great safety on that early 2000 team. You know, I tell you, Brandon, one of the best athletes I ever played with. You know, he came in as a quarterback. In my opinion, he's one of those guys, he probably could have played professional ball at about five different positions. You know, he went as a safety, but he was good enough to play quarterback, receiver, running back. Just one of those, you know, freak talents, but just a, you know, phenomenal guy as well. So he's going to be signing, you know, for the Austin Peay game, and he's like everybody else excited to see what the Dogs are going to do this year.
All right, a couple things on Sean Jones, if you don't mind, and then I want to talk to you about some of the other stuff that's been going around the Georgia program. First of all, one of the underrated moments in your era, and an era that's very special to me when it comes to Georgia football, and I know you'll remember this, that scoop and score against Tennessee in Knoxville in 2003, a game where y'all go up there, and the last time you've been in Knoxville before that was 2001, which was the dramatic hobnail boot win, which we'll always remember forever. But 2003, another Georgia win, is a totally different theme and sort of narrative that day, where Georgia goes into Knoxville and just obliterates the Vols. And, David, I don't have to tell you, because in addition to being a great former Georgia player, you were also a longtime Georgia fan growing up. I mean, Tennessee had Georgia's number for years and years and years. To see Georgia go into Knoxville in 2003, and so much of that was propelled by that scoop and score from Sean Jones in that game, that's one of those all-time great Georgia memories for me. And I know that Sean Jones at Tailgate Apparel is going to have a really good time sort of retelling some of those moments, because, I mean, for a lot of us, that's a pretty special moment for a guy who was a very good player.
Oh, it was amazing. You know, look, to be in an away stadium, especially like the one in Neyland Stadium, and if I recall, I mean, that was right before half. They were actually plugging along. They had a big drive going, and it looked like they were about to punch the ball in. And to go from that to a scoop and score that was about 90 yards, it really changed the whole momentum in that entire ball game, because we came out the second half. I don't remember the final of school, but I think it was around like 41-14 or something, something around there. But he changed the whole tune of that game, because they were knocking on the door about to score. They put the ball on the ground. He scoops and scores. And about that time, people are already leaving for the doors in Neyland Stadium, ready to go back to their tailgates. But he's a phenomenal player. I mean, look, he made play after play. It's pretty amazing. You make a jump from quarterback to safety and to turn out to the kind of player that he is. And I'll tell you one just last quick story. Is this, you know, I always say he's a phenomenal athlete. I took him quail hunting a few years ago. He never shot a gun in his life, which I don't recommend taking somebody quail hunting for the first time. But I've never shot a gun. But he goes out there, and he's like, yeah, how does this thing work again? And then sure enough, those quail come flying up, and he just boom, 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 lighting them up. I said, it really doesn't surprise me.
No, listen.
Just that kind of athlete.
That's a guy that's going to be good at anything he tries. And, you know, David, the other day, Mel Tucker gave his – you know, he only does like one press conference a year, at least before the bowl game anyway – And he was talking about one of the Georgia defensive backs, and he actually compared him to Sean Jones. And Tucker had known Jones from the NFL a little bit, and he sort of went into a lot of detail about how good of a player he remembered Sean Jones as having been. So Mel Tucker was just talking about Sean Jones the other day, which is another great reason to see him there at Tailgate Apparel coming up to start the season next Saturday before Georgia takes on Austin Peay. Let me shift gears, though, David, if you don't mind. I briefly mentioned this off the very top of the program. You dealt with a scenario in 2004 that this Georgia team is going to deal with right now. Your preseason rank in the AP poll, I believe, is number 3 that year, which is the exact same rank that Georgia has this year. You guys had been good. You'd won the SEC in 2002. You played for the SEC in 2003. But you really didn't have as high a preseason rank in either of those two seasons as you did for your final year in 2004. Those practices before that first game, before, you know, that season, how much more intense were they, or how much more pressure did you feel knowing that you had the extra national attention that was at least a little bit higher than it had been for either of the three previous seasons that you'd been at Georgia?
You know, Brent, I'll tell you, as a player, it really didn't feel any different. I mean, you obviously know at that point, you know, we had a lot of guys on that senior class, myself and Pollock and Reggie Brown, many others that, you know, had played a lot of games for the Bulldogs leading up to that season. But you got to put in the same amount of work. You know, every day is a new day, and what you did last year and 2 years ago, it really doesn't help you win the game the next week. And so when coaches talk about, you know, last season was last season, you really do have to look at that way, because if you don't, complacency can set in, and you don't think you have to work as hard. So I'll be honest with you, for me, I never really looked at the preseason rankings. I think a lot of people say, okay, they look at how a team played last year, and they automatically say, okay, next year they ought to even be a little bit better because they got a little more experience. It doesn't always work out that way. It's a brand-new team. You got new guys, new positions. What I'm really anxious to see, Brandon, really is the leadership within the team. I think that's what made last year's team so special. Is you had players, you know, you had the Roquan Smiths on defense, and you had the Sonys and the Knicks that really stepped up and led that team and would never let them fail. Who are going to be the new guys that step in? And that's the thing, as a former player, as a fan, I'm just anxious to see who's going to be the new guys that step up and take over the reins.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair question. And we played some audio earlier of Kirby Smart talking about Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. It sounds like Kirby Smart is obviously viewing Jake Fromm as his starting quarterback right now, but we also know that has still been a pretty intense competition throughout the spring and into the summer here. How much do you think Fromm is helped by that, even if he's ultimately the winner the way that most of us expected him to be of the starting competition for now? How much do you think he's been helped by the push and the competition that he's had to engage in with a Justin Fields, who's a pretty special athlete and player himself?
Look, it's always good to have somebody pushing you. You know, the one thing I think about Fromm, I think we're fortunate enough that he appears to be a guy that's self-motivated, regardless if we had a stud behind him or not. I think he's one of those guys that's always trying to be the best player he can be. But there's no question, look, competition is a good thing at any position. I don't think there's a chance in the world, and I mentioned this last week on the show, that Fields, I don't think there's a chance in the world he would start week one unless Fromm was injured. And I think, you know, from listening to coach's comments the other day, you know, Fromm's taking all the first-team reps, and he's wanting Fields, and he's wanting the number ones to be pushed at every position. And the fortunate part we're getting at Georgia is there's starting to be not a much difference between the ones and twos and threes.
Yeah.
You know, 5-6 years ago, there was a huge gap between the one and the two. And so sometimes the number of ones, they didn't have to practice quite as hard because they knew, regardless of how they practiced, they were going to be the start of week one. Well, it's not that way anymore. You got enough talent coming in there that if you don't bring it every day, or even if you get hurt a little bit, it's not necessarily like you're missed too much. You got a next guy up that can step up and you know, produce just as well as you are. So it's a good situation to be in for George. It's great for the fans to know that we've got some depth there. But look, I'm like anyone else. I'm anxious to see what Fields can do. You know, I mean, that's the kid that we all know is talented. But as a guy that's played that position, Jake Fromm, there's no way you could not play him, because I don't think there's any way that any freshman could possibly do any better than what he did last year. I think it'd be crazy to think that could happen.
David, we'll finish up with this. You mentioned being anxious to see what Justin Fields can do. You know, Kirby Smart also talked yesterday about his number 3 quarterback, Matthew Downing. I'll admit, David, Downing is not a guy that I know a ton about, which sort of puts more emphasis on that backup quarterback position because Georgia has great depth one and two. Maybe it's still a question about how much depth Georgia has one through three at that quarterback spot. Does that mean then that Georgia's got to be careful about how it uses Justin Fields? Do you think that Georgia can be free to let him run around as much as he may want to or as much as we as fans want to see him run around, knowing that he's really your only sort of, you know, likely to proven dependable insurance policy against the Jake Fromm injury? Does Georgia have to be more careful with Justin Fields given the uncertain status of the number three quarterback?
Look, I think it's easy to think that way, but I'll tell you, Brandon, you know, as one to play, when you start playing not to get hurt, that's when you end up getting hurt. It just never fails. That's the way it goes. You just got to let him go. I mean, look, he's big, strong kid. Are there freak accidents that take place? There's no question. You know, you always like the luxury of going, hey, we've got two good players. You know, we need to make sure he doesn't get the two, doesn't get injured, because the difference of one to three may be drastic. But, you know, that's part of the risk in playing the game. You got to let the kid go out there and let it loose. There's nothing worse than get that feeling like you're trying to, you know, hold back a little bit just to keep from injuries. That's not the way a game's supposed to be played. You got to go out and cut it loose and just let it roll. Let's say it this way. I started 52 games in the SEC, and I'm not one quarter of an athlete that kid is, so we should be okay.
Well said, David, and a great way to close this one out. Tailgate Apparel, 279 East Broad Street, a great signing next Saturday with Sean Jones, the former great UGA safety, a really, really fun way to sort of start the 2018 season off right. And, by the way, if you're looking for some of that great game day gear, you can get that at Tailgate Apparel as well. David, it is always so much fun to have you here on a Dog Nation Daily. Your expertise and stuff like this is an invaluable resource to us. We hope you enjoy the beginning to the upcoming season, and we hope you will come back and see us again here soon as well.
Sounds good, Brandon. Thank you, buddy.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Always really fun to have David Green here on Dog Nation Daily. He is a just a great, great friend of our program. A really cool thing. And, you know, I mentioned Kroger a couple times on the program here today. While I've got Kroger on my mind, let me also remind you that going on here for the next couple of days, Kroger's got a big wine sale. It runs through the 20, so it starts on the 22nd, which was yesterday, and goes to the 26th. You can save 10% when you purchase six or more bottles of wine with your card there at your local Kroger. So check that out. And if you're coming to the Dog Nation season kickoff tonight, how about take advantage of that offer while you're in Kroger tonight? That'll be a lot of fun to do. What is not a lot of fun is the subject that I need to discuss next. It's not necessarily SEC-related, so it's a little bit weird to put this in the SEC through, but I've already been monitoring our Facebook comment section, our YouTube comment section throughout the program so far today. And you're already talking about this in the comment section, so it feels like the kind of thing we ought to at least mention here for a moment. Ohio State does announce yesterday the 3-game suspension for Urban Meyer. Now, there is going to be a lot of stuff said about this in the days ahead. To start off with, a suspension is apparently warranted, at least according to Ohio State, but the games in which Urban Meyer suspended, a lot of folks are going to notice these aren't the Big Ten games. It's two, well, actually, Rutgers is a Big Ten opponent. I always forget that, but it's two very, very meager opponents in week one and week two. And then a non-conference game against TCU, which is ranked in the top 25 there in week three. And then the start of the actual, you know, meat of the Big Ten schedule after that. And Urban Meyer will be back there for Ohio State. Most people seem to be in agreement that what happened for the Buckeyes last night, Meyer meeting in front of reporters, facing some questions, that it ends up just being a really bad look for Ohio State and a bad look for Meyer personally. I tuned in, watched some of this, and you know, I couldn't believe, and I think I'm probably going to end up using words that other columnists have used or other people who've sort of weighed in on television. It's sort of hard not to be influenced by what you hear from other people. The word that comes to mind, I think this is a word that's been used by other people, is just diminished. Urban Meyer seems so much smaller after last night than he ever seemed before. This is one of the real lions of the sport. I gave you those blue chip ratio numbers from Bud Elliott earlier. Urban Meyer has been the kind of coach that could put 76% of his roster at Ohio State at the level of being a former 4- and 5-star recruit, according to SBNation.com. That's the kind of thing that only comes if you're a truly successful, towering giant of coaching. But the way the Zach Smith thing last night, over the last few years, has been supposedly handled, the weird way in which Meyer seemingly dodged some questions, had insufficient answers for others, makes him come across just a sort of a weak, feeble man. And to have the admission, and Brett McMurphy's tweeted about this, other people have, from the actual report released by Ohio State, that somehow Meyer's dealing with some memory loss, as was explained in this report. That's another weird admission, maybe made to make this whole thing seem more, I guess, palatable. Or I'm not even sure what the purpose of even releasing that information is, but it just sets up Meyer to seem like such a diminished version of what used to be a towering giant in coaching. And I wonder if that can ever be repaired. I wonder if that can ever be put back together. Really interesting stuff, although kind of an ugly chapter for college football here. Let me transition to something a little bit more, you know, within the realm of the SEC here. So LSU, we talked the other day about Justin McMillan, one of the two quarterbacks to leave LSU here in the wake of Joe Burrow arriving on campus from Ohio State. And we are about to get into a scenario, I think it's in October, where rules are going to be changed. All of a sudden, you know, these teams can't block transfers anymore. But LSU still has that freedom now, and I guess apparently choosing to do that. One of the reporters was on the scene and sort of tweeted out this about this a bit. I think this is not a great look for LSU here. Let me show you one of these, a couple of these tweets. It's Brody Miller. He writes for the New Orleans Times-Picayune. He says that LSU's denied Justin McMillan permission to transfer to any SEC schools or 2018-2019 LSU opponents. However, LSU said McMillan can request a hearing to go to an SEC school not on LSU's schedule the next 2 years. The quote here is, that would be something that would be considered. But Miller's second tweet here is actually a bit more interesting than that. Miller tweets out that the NCAA passed a rule where in June ending any restrictions on where a player can transfer. But as I sort of briefly mentioned a moment ago, that rule doesn't go into effect until October 15th. So here we have a rule about to go into effect that makes all of this null and void for LSU. But for now, they're going to still block McMillan's transfer for a guy that they've already essentially said is not good enough to be their starting quarterback. This seems like petty and vindictive on the part of LSU, and not a great look for Ed Orgeron, who's having a hard enough time winning with recruits as it is. I can't imagine this behavior is going to make things easier. Speaking of that, one final story to get to as a part of our SEC through here. And I'm going to tread lightly on this topic because I know many of you don't want to hear about it. But Sports Illustrated does a profile, Ross Dellinger is the writer, on Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith. Obviously, the sort of the crux of the story is that Smith is the hero from the national championship game because he caught the game-winning pass for Alabama. But in the story, Dellinger goes back to Smith's hometown, which I hope I pronounce this correct, is Amite, Louisiana. And obviously, they love Devontae there in that town. And reading this, I know the whole purpose of this is supposed to make you think about Devontae Smith in Alabama, but when I'm reading it, I guess my brain is always on recruiting. I just couldn't help but think about this Louisiana town, sort of true blue LSU fandom for most of those folks, and here they are celebrating one of their favorite sons at Alabama. You've got the same thing kind of going on potentially with Ishmael Supcher this year as well. It really speaks to just how weakened Ed Orgeron seemingly looks as a recruiter there for LSU, that he's having a hard time right now even winning with talent in his own state. The Devontae Smith profile may be another example of that, and it's one of the reasons why, before the hedges yesterday, we talked about the battle that Georgia may still wage in terms of holding on to John Emery Jr.'s commitment. It becomes a pressure-packed situation with Orgeron. He's got to win with an in-state prospect at some point in time. Maybe they're going to draw a line and try to make that John Emery Jr., but I'm not sure LSU's going to win that one either. In fact, I'm pretty sure they won't, and for now, we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, it's been really fun over the last few days to sort of look ahead to Georgia's attempt at dominating the division once again in a series we call Own the East. One of the groups that could make that happen for Georgia is that great crop of outside linebackers, affectionately known as the Wolfpack. Let's hear more about them right now.
Georgia's Own Credit Union presents Own the East, and a look at the names to know as Georgia tries to get back on top of the division once again for 2018. Hello, everybody. I'm Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation's Chip Towers, and I got to be completely honest here. It seems really weird to be talking about Georgia outside linebackers and not talking about Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy. We talked about them for so long, but they're not here anymore. In their place, guys like DeAndre Walker and Walter Grant, they got big shoes to fill, but these are guys that are more than capable of getting it done, right?
Yeah, they really are. And if you think about Georgia's tradition at outside linebacker here in the recent years, there's quite a few names that stand out. In addition to Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter, you've got guys like Jarvis Jones and Jordan Jenkins who are you know, getting it done in the NFL right now. And, you know, Georgia can only hope that you have the same in DeAndre Walker and Walter Grant, and not just those guys. There is a slew of outside linebacker recruiting prospects that Georgia seems to have brought in here on a train, a boxcar full of them, of five-star outside linebacker guys. But there's a Wolfpack tradition that when it goes back to Jarvis Jones, he handled it to Jordan Jenkins. They call them the Wolfpack. They hunt as a group, and Georgia has a big group out there. Dan Lanning, the new assistant coach, leading the way with that group, and you know, they are poised to carry on the Wolfpack tradition.
Let me talk about DeAndre Walker in particular here for a moment. He actually had pretty big stats a year ago in a reserve role, but that's been described as sort of a specialist pass rusher role. He's going to be on the field for more snaps this season. How do you think that changes the statistical profile that Walker is able to put together?
Well, I think to start with is DeAndre Walker is out to prove something. He knows that everybody thinks that he can only rush the passer. And that's the thing. A lot of people complain the last couple of years about the quarterback sack stats, you know, put up by Bellamy and Carter. But in the age of the spread offense, the position has been redefined a good bit. You know, it's not just get after the quarterback. It also has a lot to do with contain and cover. And that's what those two guys were very good at. And that's what DeAndre Walker wants to prove that he's capable of doing. Walter Grant as well. So he can get out there and cover a wide receiver and keep contained and keep those spread offenses, you know, under control. And DeAndre Walker will be looked to do that.
Walter Grant, DeAndre Walker, two really fun guys on this Georgia team in 2018, taking on an expanded role. And we'll see how their efforts pay off in the attempt for Georgia to own the East once again in 2018.
Own the East is brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union and Georgia's Own Visa Signature Card, which gives 1.25 points for each dollar charge and can be redeemed for cash back, gift cards, travel, merchandise, and more. Check out georgiasown.org for more details.
That's a good-looking crop of outside linebackers for Georgia. When you think about the guys that likely step up in the starting roles this season, like Walter Grant, who I thought was one of the great wins for Georgia with its 2017 class, DeAndre Walker, who in kind of that limited role in 2017 put up some big stats. That's a good-looking crop of starters, but it's also really exciting to think about how some of those incoming freshman backups could potentially participate and contribute in all of this. Brenton Cox, who I do think is going to play, Adam Anderson, who's obviously maybe at one point in time going to go on to great things in a Georgia uniform. Really deep for Georgia there at that position, and we'll see how that all unfolds here in 2018. All right, we will wrap up this way. You know, on this program, we believe that a good Georgia fan is a Gator hater, and we make no bones about that. And if you're watching on video, how about the good-looking Gator hater logo there on the screen? Good, love seeing that. And love thinking about 65 days from right now, Georgia going back to Jacksonville, beating the Florida Gators again. You see a lot of countdowns this time of year. You know, most people count down at the beginning of the season. We're obviously not looking past any of those games, but we want to make sure that we remind folks that we think Georgia fans are supposed to be Gator haters, and we'll look forward to beating Florida 65 days from right now. Also looking forward to tonight. It's our Dog Nation season kickoff there at the Kroger Marketplace in Cumming, Bethelview Road, 5550 Bethelview Road is the address. I really appreciate those of you who've already let me know that you are planning on being there. Can't wait to shake your hand, say hello to you. Can't wait to give away a lot of Dog Nation Retaliation t-shirts. We've also got Own the East t-shirts too, by the way, we're giving away. So a lot of gear to give out. We'll see you then and back tomorrow for Dog Nation Daily.